Well, I just want to, say that, I just believe the Holy Spirit has been able to, it always the case, that He opens up the Word like He has been in Joel, because your hearts are hungry and you really want Jesus in a real way, not in a Pharisee way, but, and I think in my own life, and maybe others here feel that way, that I would like to want to know the Lord in less of a pharisaical manner. I do believe that I still many times listen in classes and search the scriptures in a way that puffs me up with knowledge. I hate that. I hate that's true, but I see it in me, and it, it's part of the threshing of the Spirit to get out that which doesn't really bring forth Jesus, makes me more spiritual. And it's never fun, like what Steve was saying, when the cross starts to come and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I don't know if I want it like that. It's so much more fun, to watch the movie of Joel with popcorn in my hands than to sit and be the barren field that the cross is being applied. It's really two completely different states of heart, and I need so much more of, I was thinking back in May, last May, when we were in Ireland, and so many of us, we've all been gathered in as one to the heart of Jesus in these things. But I remember one of the first things, before we even really knew what was going on, and I don't think that I still do personally, but we're hearing more and more, but that there was something we talked about, cultivating an openness. And that just comes to me all the time, that Lord, I want to continue to cultivate an openness in my heart, not to deep spiritual things or something, but an openness to the Holy Spirit letting the cross come to me, the day of the Lord really happen in my life, where my land is devastated, but the glory of God begins to fill the temple. the wonder of the cross and the increase of Christ. And so, there's a decrease. John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And there's always, with every increase of him, there is a decrease. There is a decrease of us. And we talked about that last week when Peter was feeling that decrease and he was weeping bitterly. But because he allowed the ministry of decrease to work in him, he was able to become filled with the Holy Spirit and then conform to the Lamb and enter into the things Joel spoke of personally. And, that wasn't going to happen apart from a deep thing that he really passed through in a personal and in intimately personal way. And we talked about that last week. And, that's not fun, but the fruit of it, when it's the Lord's working in us by His Spirit, it is, wow. It says in the Psalms that when the Lord turned their captivity, they were as them that dreamed, that their mouths were filled with laughter. This, the wonder of God bringing forth His Son in us in a real way and increasing the grain and the wine, the life of Jesus, the nature of Jesus, increasing the bread and the wine in us, laying the living Christ on the altars of our hearts. That's like having a man-child and bringing forth the Son, this increase of Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's nothing that can be compared to it, but there's travail, isn't there, in the process. And you've just got to love Jesus more than your own life to be willing to go through that, don't you? The process. And in Joel, we see the process and we see the hope. Amen. We see the hope and we see the heart of God and we see the wonder of the cross. And I just know that the Holy Spirit he's sharing with each one of us right where we're at. And he's opening our ears to what he wants to say. The dove is landing on the places where each one of us needs him to land. And that's different from one person to the next. And so we can just trust our Father in these things. We don't have to be where someone else is at. We don't have to try to move where God's not moving. We just want to be with our Father we want to yield to where he has us so we can be there with him. That's where we need to be, nowhere else. And for this final class, I have kind of an interesting view of some of these scriptures that we've gone over before. I, of course, never really know where we're going because I don't personally cook up the classes. The Lord gives me, you know, as much as I can hear what to share. And so I haven't been feeling well and haven't had a lot of time to prepare. But even as you guys were praying before class, I looked down and I felt the possibility that the Spirit began sharing a few things for us to consider from the book of Joel, just as we're summing things up. Not what I would have expected. But let's go to chapter 1. And then let's go to verse 6. And it says, "For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He has laid my vine waste. He's barked my fig tree, eaten the bark off my tree. He's made it completely bare and cast it away. Its branches are made white. Lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth, for the husband of her youth. The meal offering, the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth. The grain is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languishes." Let's go back to verse 6. And I just kind of felt a new focus on this particular verse, where it says, "For a nation has come up upon my land." And I just started considering a personal crisis. Like, all of a sudden, something happens in my life, amen, where it's like a nation has come up upon my land. Has anyone ever felt that before? A nation has come up upon my land. This trial, maybe that's something of your own soul, you know, that's just not Christ in you, and it is ugly. Or it's an external thing that's coming upon you, like the Babylonian army was in these pictures that are here. It is a strong situation. It is a strong enemy without number, teeth like a lion, a great lion. And if it's this situation or circumstance or enemy in your soul, the what is you in the flesh, if you will, it is laying that vine waste. And that vine is what? It's that relationship of I and you and me, that union where he is the vine and we are his branches, and there is a union there that brings life and brings forth fruit. "This enemy has laid my vine waste, and he has barked my fig tree." And there's this bride mourning that happens. You see it there in verse 8. "Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth." So there's a sorrow that this circumstance or this lack of Christ in the soul or whatever it might be has left such a condition on our land, in our hearts, and there's a lamenting, like, where is the union? Where is the Christ that is my life? Where is the bread? Where is the wine? Amen. Where is the living Jesus in me? And the field is wasted. The land is mourning. The grain is wasted. The new. And through this whole thing, just this time when I read it, it was like I was considering, gosh, it's like I am being awakened in chapter 1 in this view to I really, really need the Lord. Like, maybe prior to the nation coming upon my land in verse 6, I thought that I was really fruitful. I thought that I was really, right, strong and able and you know. But when the circumstance came, and the army came, and the nation came upon this, whatever it might be, it showed me the areas in me where Jesus is not formed, where the bread is not, the formed Christ, the living, the bread of life, the wine, the living Jesus, you know, that he's in those areas. And that crisis in the earth, where that situation, this nation came upon me, this trial came upon me, whether it's an internal one of my own soul or another, something happening outside of me or both, left me going, oh my goodness, I need more of Jesus in me, formed. And it causes this deep crying out for more of Jesus. Can you hear it? This deep crying out, like first there's this awakening to, I need so much more of Jesus. And it's not the condemnation thing. And it's not the religious groveling to gain something by repenting hard enough, like a Catholic penance. It's just the bride heart saying, Jesus, I want you to be my life in a real way. When the pressure's on, when the army comes, when the beasts devour, when the Lord lets trials test my foundation, when the wind and the rain comes, and my house is built on a rock, amen? I want Jesus to stand up in me in those times and not let the enemy take all the bark off my tree and break the vine and leave me destitute, amen? Well, we saw Peter go through just such a thing, didn't we? We saw him be undone by an external and an internal crisis. An external crisis that brought forth an internal crisis that left him like a barked fig tree in a barren field. Can you see him? I mean, he was out there weeping like a tree that had been debarked in a field that had been cleaned up and a vine that had been cut up. And he was destitute. And that deep crying, it isn't just over your sin, is it? That kind of lamenting isn't, oh, I wish I could do it again and not curse three times or not fail in the situation in the earth. You know, you're seeing past the situation in the earth into, I need Christ formed in me. I mean, it's not that trial showed it up. It's that your vine dressers and farmers are going, the seed didn't have good ground. You know, there's something where it's deeper than the crisis. It's the condition. It's the forming under the clods of soil, not the rain that beat upon it from the surface. And so you're crying from a place that isn't, I'm ashamed and I'm condemned and I'm regretting that I didn't take my Weetabix in that morning, drink a stronger cup of Java and be ready for whatever hit me that day. No, that isn't where victory comes from. You know, victory comes from Christ formed in us in a real and eternal way. And that happens through these things, through the cross, really doing a deep work. And so there's this cry. And there's a response. They're sanctifying a fast. Then we see the solemn assembly. We hear the groaning and the travailing and the pressing in happening. And in chapter 2, we hear and we kind of see the Lord responding even again. And we've spoken of this even recently, that the Lord is responding to that. I want more of Jesus and I want it in a real way. And I don't want to waste time, you know, thinking I'm okay, only to be confronted with a crisis that, you know, and it's okay, you know, our minds and our frailties, our fears, they take us all kinds of places, don't they? But we don't need to go those places. We just need to be a people of the cross and be with the crucified in his heart of love and the oneness he's already brought us into. and the Spirit that He has sent from the place where we've been raised in Him to bring forth the reality of the things He's already bought for us, that they can be wrought in us by the Spirit. Jesus bought it. The Spirit wrought it. Okay? We receive it as we yield and allow that to happen. But it is the work of God, and we are His workmanship. And so we don't have to go to a place of works mentality or condemnation or the enemies of the cross. We don't have to let them come to us. We can just stay with Him and allow this wonderful, wonderful process to happen. This process of bringing forth the fruit. And so it says, I noticed this verse in chapter 2, verse 11, it says, the Lord shall utter His voice before His army, for His camp is very great. For He is strong who executeth His word in the day of the Lord. It's very great and terrible, who can abide it? Therefore, turn now, saith the Lord, turn even unto me with all your heart. And here it's just like, you know, no matter what the crisis is, no matter what the situation is, nothing down here is outside of God working all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to the purpose of conforming us to the image of His Son. That's in Romans chapter 8. The situation and the crisis, that's just in the earth. But we are joining with the Lord in the eternal thing He's bringing forth in our lives, which is more of Jesus, you know? And that is, it's so worth everything. It is so worth it. So we just keep turning to Him, because who knows? Maybe He will return and repent and leave a blessing behind Him, even a meal offering and a drink offering. And so there's this tenacity to say, I'm with You, Lord. I am with You in the making me aware of my need in chapter 1. And I'm with You in allowing whatever circumstances I'm in, or however the Word of God is coming to me by the Spirit to show me the Jesus that wants to be formed in me, that I need, that I love. I am with You in this process, and I'm actively with You, and I'm crying out. And I am not presenting myself as a big fruitful field or blossoming vine, you know, or spreading tree. I am coming to You in sackcloth and ashes, like a leper, and just saying, I need Jesus. And it doesn't mean I don't have Him in many ways, but right now I just want more of Him and less of me, more fruit, more Christ. Yeah. And it says in verse 18, then the Lord was jealous for His land and pitied His people. Behold, I will send you grain and wine and oil, and you will be satisfied with them. You will no more be made a reproach among the nations. And in chapter 2 and verse 27, it says, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. You shall know that I am in you. Christ revealed that I am the Lord your God. I am your life and none else. And my people shall never, ever be ashamed. So you can see at the end of the day, this process that these people yielded into, at the end of the day, it brought forth more of Jesus. It brought forth more of Jesus for the Father, for the people, more of Christ for everyone, more love, more patience, more long-suffering, more peace, more sacrifice, more Jesus, more Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful? More Jesus in us, in me? How wonderful to walk into a situation a week ago and be confronted with someone who just was accusing me and hurting me, and I responded with all this flesh and with all this pride and with all this self-justification, and I fell on my face and said, oh my gosh, that situation just debarked my tree, just broke up my vine and laid me the barren field. And instead of going, but it was their fault, and it was just an off day, and really I love the Lord, and I had such a deep spiritual experience with Jesus in the Word this morning before that trial hit me in the face, that I'm okay. And instead of falling in sackcloth and ashes and crying out for more of Jesus, and you know what I mean, saying, thank you, Lord, for laying my field waste by that circumstance, exposing my need for more love, for more forgiveness, for more mercy, for more of the living Jesus. But Lord, because that happened, now I'm aware that I need you and I need you more. And I'm going to seek you now with all of my heart. And I'm going to allow you to form your son in me. And I'm going to keep pressing in until Christ, till the next Northern Army comes at me, the next crisis hits me, and the same accusation comes and maybe comes 10 times harder. And it's the lion with the great mighty teeth now gnawing at my bark. And instead I turn my tree to the other side and let him bite another branch. You know, and I go, the oil and the wine is back. Look it, I have love now. Look it, I have forgiveness now. Look it, I just want to bless those who are biting me. I don't want to say, I'm better than you. You have such a lack of Jesus. I don't even have to be around you. I'm too spiritual for you. I can say, bite the other branch if it helps you. I'll die for you so you can have life. I love you with Jesus' love. And I'm not doing it to be better than you. I'm doing it because I was such a wretch in chapter 1. Jesus had to love me this way. And then I had to receive that kind of love and say, I don't have that kind of love. Shed it abroad in my heart and let me love people that way too. And give me grain and oil and wine for my brother. And God says, I think I will give you grain and oil and wine for your brother. Because you weren't lying to yourself and hiding yourself from your own flesh in chapter 1. But you said, look, if I had the grain and the meal and the oil, when brother bite my arm off, walked up to me and falsely accused me, treated me wrongly and unthankfully, and just hurt me, I would have responded with oil and wine and bread. But instead I responded with Kelly. And instead of getting proud over that and justifying and pointing their finger, scapegoating them, I fell on my face and cried out for more of Jesus. That's simple. It's not that complicated. And then falling down and getting low and crying out for more of Jesus and being real about my condition, not condemning myself in a manner that rejects the Lamb of God who died for me and bore all my condemnation, but in a manner that just says, Lord, you died so that I'd have grain and wine and oil for these people. And I'm crying out that it come. Reveal your son in me. Put away this old Kelly and her attitudes, her reactions, her pride, her way of just keeping getting harder and harder and justifying and putting everyone else as the bad person. Don't let me be that way. That's not Jesus. That's not being born again. That's being an old creation. Caterpillar. I want to be full of your love, Calvary love, crucified love, Jesus love. And if I'm not, and my field is barren, and I have no bread and wine for the altar where I'm being slaughtered unmercifully and unjustly, then Lord, I'm going to cry out to you for more of Jesus. And I'm going to believe that by grace, you will reveal your son in me and form him in me, so that the next time this situation comes around, I will either cry out harder, or I will have oil and wine and bread. And Lord, thank you that Joel isn't a book to puff me up. Thank you that Joel isn't a book to make me feel so spiritual, because I had many, many divine revelations about how deep and spiritual the cross can be seen in Joel. Rather, Lord, thank you that I became the wasted field that the Northern Army exposed. Because the Northern Army is a bunch of barbaric Chaldeans who have no Jesus in them. And they reveal that I have no Jesus in me either, formed. And the wonder of the ministry of that army of the Lord is that they have come to slay what is not Christ in me, expose what is not bread, wine, and oil in me, the formed Christ, but cause me to cry out for the Spirit of God to reveal the Son in me, to form the Son in me. The Father to reveal his Son and the Spirit to form him. And put me in a very, very what? Low place. What does God say about those who humble themselves? He will raise them up in Jesus. But what does it say about those who exalt themselves? He will bring them down. So, Lord, maybe I needed to be humbled. Maybe that northern army was just what the doctor ordered to get me low. So low that I'd go to the foot of the cross and I'd cry out for Jesus instead of coming as the Pharisee who already knew him. Amen? In that situation, in that part. And that, Lord, at the end of Joel, it isn't about how deep I am or how much I teach or what I write or what I can say or the gifts of the Spirit that I can have. It's about the oil and the wine and the formed Christ, the bread, the blood, the sacred lamb life that gives itself for the ungodly, that coursing through my veins. You know, that I have Jesus living, the living Jesus, in other words. And that I have him in a way that is able to be offered up and given to others, offered up to God and given to others in practical and real life things. And that Joel is speaking into that process. He's speaking to people who are willing to be real about their condition in certain areas where Christ might not yet be formed. People who are open to the grace of God to reveal Christ and form Christ in them. People who are willing to cry out for Jesus and not just be satisfied to treat people wrongly. You know, it really does come, doesn't Jesus said, do unto others as you would have others do unto you? And this fulfills what? All the law and the prophets. So the whole book of Joel is fulfilled in this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you want people to treat you the way you treat them? Is that the bread and the oil and the wine? Is it love, really self-giving Jesus love? Is that thought, is those motives? Is it really Jesus, the real Jesus? Or is it religion, or is it something that's a seed that has yet brought forth its fruit yet, and it just needs to be watered and cultivated and formed more. Amen? But there's a process, and before that process can really start, there's an awakening to the need. And the end of that process is, and it says it here in the very end of the book, at the very end of chapter 3, the very last verse in Joel, it says, but I will avenge their blood, or the wording, true wording there is, I will cleanse their blood that I had not cleansed, for the Lord dwells in Zion. I will cleanse their blood. Lord, he's cleansing us. He's purging us from that which is not Jesus in us, but the old. He's cleansing that so that he can dwell in his people. It can be Christ in us. And how does that reveal itself in the earth? Love one another as I have loved you. Treat one another as you would have them treat you. Amen? And so it's kind of like the grace of God to be able to open our hearts more to the cross in a real way, to the Father in a way, for his Son to really live in us. To union with Christ in a way that really lets his Spirit course through our veins and his fruit, his life, his blood, his wine, his bread, his mind, his formed life be within us and be given out through us, broken and shared, poured out and given. And I know that that's the way I need Jesus. This is how God is dealing with me now. There is no... I don't know. There's just no tenor of, oh, I understand that. Oh, I know that. Oh, yeah. Great, great illumination of the scriptures. I can move on. I just don't feel that way at all. I just feel like I want to stay there until the bread and the wine is there. And the Lord can send another northern army and out comes the wine. Out comes the bread. Out comes the oil. Out comes the love. You know? And I know, oh, wow, that's not me, that's Jesus. God gave me the wine and the oil. He gave it, he gave me, he formed it, He has left me a blessing, a drink offering and a meal offering, Christ in me, formed and flowing, living and breathing, giving and giving and giving himself. And it's cleansing me from the inside out. You know, it's like Jesus in us is like a fountain for cleansing. He just purges those selfish thoughts. He purges that pride. He purges us from all those things that are us. By being our life, by filling our vat with grain and filling our wine cellar with wine and filling our fountain with water that's crystal clear and lamb. He redeems us from the inside out. He cleanses our blood. He gives us his mind and he makes us his fruitful field. And God himself gives the increase of Christ in us. And we say, Lord, I'm with you in this process. And I know every time I fail, it's not just that I fail, because I'll always fail. And I'm not the hope of glory. I'm not the incorruptible seed. I'm not the wine, nor the oil, nor the bread. Your Son is all that. He fulfills everything. He is the fulfillment, and he is the harvest. So, Lord, you know, the day will come when that incorruptible seed will bring forth his incorruptible fruit, and it will manifest in his beauty and his nature. And Lord, you will get all the glory, because all I did was say, Lord, have your own way. I'm not going to get high. I'm not going to get religious. I'm not going to justify attitudes that I know in my heart. That's not Jesus. And I'm not going to say to myself, it's okay to have deep revelations and spiritual things and yet not do unto others as I would have them do unto me. Be merciful and tender-hearted. And that, you know, I can just hear the thoughts of Adam going, yeah, be merciful and tender-hearted to all my filth and slime that I put on you. No, he's not talking to the people that you've hurt. He's talking to you. You know, we can really divert everything so that we aren't the one who needs Jesus. Don't do that. If you have hurt someone, don't look for them to be Jesus to you. You repent. And in a certain sense, remove yourself from those people until you can live Christ in a certain, you know what I'm saying? There should be a diligence in us to do the leper cleansing, to get in that river 7 times of Jordan until we are not releasing slime on everyone. We should have enough love for Jesus and his body to be willing to go through that process until we do have the Lord for one another. Amen. So we don't want to turn around and start hedging the way for the flesh to keep going in us. We need to hedge that flesh into Calvary and not let it make excuses or rise until it is Christ the Lamb that God is lifting up in us as he gives his life and love for others through us. In that process, our Father, he is the one who brings the increase, reveals his Son. He is the one who covers us in the palm of his hand. As we walk through these things, the Spirit of God overshadowing us, telling us we have the earnest of the Spirit. Christ is in us, and we are in Christ, and it is finished. And God's working that out in us so we can be filled with the beauty of what has already been fulfilled in Christ. Yes, we are held through the process, but not that sin might abound, but that Christ might be formed. And we just get real about it. You know, and getting real doesn't mean we open up to demons of condemnation or regret, because that's what I do. That's my tendency. No, I want to be real about, first of all, the love of Jesus, that he loves me and he will never leave or forsake me. And that he's holding me in the hollow of his hand, and I will never be cast out because he bore my punishment. He bore my guilt and my condemnation. He bore my regret and my shame, and now he's trying to bring me forth in his image. And if this is the process I need to go to, then I can go through it with him and in him. We talked about that last week. I can go through it in him, in his love, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. But I can let it soak into me and reach me deep inside, so deep that he can actually be formed there. So there's love on every leg of the journey. But there's also being real. And in being real, say, I want a real Jesus to really live through me. And that's what I need. And I just can't get up until Jesus comes forth. And, you know, when I say get up, I mean stop seeking him. Stop crying out. Stop saying, Lord, oh, how I need you. And just reveal your son in me, form Christ. Let this circumstance come back to me again and again until the love of Jesus responds instead of Kelly. You know, what a wonderful place to be. Then that bride heart in us that was crying in chapter 1 and weeping and mourning, she says, oh, it is Jesus in me now. It's not even my bride heart, it's Jesus in me being the life. Amen. Oh, glory to the bread, to the lamb, to the wine, to the lamb life, to the spirit of the slaughtered lamb that now has taken possession of my heart and can live in me. Glory, glory, glory to God and to the life of Jesus within. To the Father who revealed him, to the Spirit who formed him, Lord, I just stay with you that you might do all that you can to make me a vessel of your beautiful treasure so that others can receive the real Jesus. And I can represent who he really is down here. Amen. Not just in word, but in deed. In my ways, in my responses, in my attitudes. That's the Jesus I really need more than anything. I need that. And I want that. And I'm crying out for that. And maybe more than ever before. But my crying out isn't earning me anything. It's the work of the cross that purchased it all. He purchased this, and we belong to Jesus, and he is using all these things in our lives, not for us to earn something, but to work in us the reality of who we already are, the spirit that we really are already of, and to bring out the life that's already in us. Amen. And we've talked about this for years, but every caterpillar already has the nature of a butterfly inside. It just needs to go through that cocoon process to get that butterfly nature out. We all have Jesus in us. We have the Lamb's nature, his life, that incorruptible seed. It's in our soil. And it is Jesus in us. All glory to him. But there's cocoon circumstances that we get confined into to help us see the caterpillar that we need to put off and the wings that we need to let grow. Amen. And those things are our friends. They're our workers. They're our helpers. They're God's gifts to us if we see the incredible opportunity they bring for us to be conformed to the image of Christ. It is just a tremendously blessed thing. Your heart can literally leap a beat because you can go, wow, I won't really know if I can fly unless I get to go to that cliff again and jump off. And you go, man, I only make it in that neck of the woods about once every 7 months. So you're like, I'm just going to seek and seek and seek, but the day is going to come when I'm going to see if I can fly, if those wings are strong. And so instead of that northern army or that crisis or that circumstance that always pushes our buttons and causes the flesh to, all of a sudden you go, oh, Lord, next time that circumstance comes, I'll see how strong my wings are by your grace because of your life in me, or how much I need to keep crying out and seeking. Amen. For your increase that only you can give, because it's Christ alone who is that increase. And then we just go, well, thank you. Thank you for that roommate who always makes me want to act like I'm better than them and get all proud and all righteous and all, I'm holy and you're not. And obviously I have more and the Lord's like, you know, that little northern army that's laying next to you in your bed, it's going to keep attacking you like a lion until one day you lay your life down for them and you do it because you really love them. And you're hoping a little bit of death works in you so they can get some life. Not because they're the wretched sinner that needs life, but because your heart is so daggum full of love, you could do nothing else but just give yourself because you just love them. Just love them. Not because you're better. Because Jesus is just that way, man, and love is just that way. Well, that you need to let the little Northern Army stay around until you don't walk away from them debarked and divined, but divine, because you're a lamb by Christ in you. And you know, the scriptures say God's worried about your obedience being fulfilled. He's worried about Christ being formed in us. In God's time, he will deal with their disobedience. And it says that in 2 Corinthians 10, but it also says it in Joel chapter 3. It deals with all the disobedience. And we're not going to go there. You can read that. But God deals with all these nations that were really hard on Judah during the time period in which she was being conformed to the image of Christ. And he just takes them all through the threshing process. They all go into the valley of decision, and they all get judged based on the harvest of their own field. And it's just really awful for them if they don't have Christ. I mean, they go through the same judgment and the same process if they want it. So no one escapes the cross, right? But we can say, Lord, right now you're dealing with me, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, it's my field that you're trying to gain a harvest out from. And in time, you're going to start working on their field after my obedience is fulfilled. But Lord, may I fight for my brother. At that point, may I take my plowshare, you know, my little gardening tool, and may I make it into an instrument to fight for them to get the cross, to get the lamb. I mean, you know, love is so crazy because love just goes all the weird directions that we would never go because we're so proud. I mean, I'm talking about Adam and I'm talking about me. So just take it on when I say we. Think about Kelly and Adam. You don't have to take it personal. But I am so proud that I will literally distort everything to keep myself lifted up higher than everyone, more spiritual, more Jesus. It's so awful. But it's so funny that when Jesus, literally the oil and the wine start coming up on the altar in my heart, the real one, the real oil, Jesus Christ in me, the hope of, when he starts rising up, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this person. I'm worse than they are. I don't care what I just want to believe if there be any virtue, if there be any praise or any consolation of the Spirit. Oh, Lord, let me take their punishment. Oh, God, I see them in the scars of your hand. They are yours. This is your bone. This is your flesh. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. And you just have a whole different spirit, whole different heart, and it's Christ in you. And you're just like, my captivity has been turned. That's it, Lord. That's what I was looking for. Let me tell you, it is not a deep revelation of the scriptures on that day. The great and terrible day of the Lord is when the crisis hits and either Christ or you show up. And when it's Christ, there you go. There's that Mount Zion. There's that, and I am in her. And who's shining out of her? Oh, it's the Lamb. Her blood has been cleansed. Her nature is now him. And she has his love and she bears his likeness. And oh, hallelujah. Isn't that the field we want to be? A harvest of the Son in his nature, in his love. Isn't that how we want to respond to the Northern Army? Isn't that the way we can find out if it's really Christ there or not? These people that God's put in our lives and the people that we are in someone, just, you know, know that you are the Northern Army to someone else too. Someone else is our Northern Army, but then we are that. No one is exempt. We are all in this together. Really, we are. You know, I may think I'm just Miss Wonderful, and that everyone's just blessed to have me in their life. But you know what? I'm just the Northern Army to a whole bunch of people, and all my Kelly that's not Jesus just grinds them. And I say, Lord, let Christ be formed in them, so you can deal with me, because I need Jesus. But iron sharpeneth iron, that's right. We are that to someone, and someone is that to us. And you know what the answer is? It's just love. Really letting the real love of Jesus be formed in us. Christ. So much so that all of a sudden we want to lay our lives down. We want to love from the heart, from the heart. And no excuses, no pride, no who's right and who's wrong and can't believe it and, oh, I'm so much better and, oh, that was just so not Jesus in them. And, you know, the knowledge of good and evil and the poison and the circumstances and the back and the forth and the defiled thoughts and then the obsessive of, wow, that really hurt me, can't. And then the infections and then the divisions and then the self-protections and the flesh. Instead, that great and terrible day of the Lord, it just cleanses all that old blood out, cleanses that old nature, crucifies it, and makes it a real burial and a real death in our walk. And we come out of that thing cleansed, and we come out of that thing filled, and we come out of that thing fruitful by Christ, and we come out of that thing with a new way about us, and it's Jesus in us. And there is, what does it say? And it is tremendous, the pictures of this that it paints in Joel. It talks about, oh, where is it? I just need to read it. Yeah. Verse 18 in chapter 3. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down with new wine. Wow. The hills shall flow with milk. The rivers of Judah will flow with water. And a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord and shall water the valley of Shittim. My gosh, look at that. That's conversion. A true conversion has happened in Judah. They are dropping down with wine and flowing with milk and gushing with water. And the real Jesus has come forth. Do you see the conversion there? It's not a deeper spiritual. There's a change. It's a change from me to Jesus. And it's a real change. And I will cleanse their blood, the blood that I had not cleansed, for I will dwell in my people. I am the hope. I am the cleansing. I am the bread, and I am the wine. I am the resurrection. Jesus said it. Lo, whomsoever will come unto me, I will be unto them rivers of living water. Amen. In their belly. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But what kind of a hope is he? A hope that after we die, it's all going to be okay. No, he's a hope that can reach right into the Northern Army next to us, right into the crisis around the corner, right into that area where we always justify and are proud and hurtful and self-righteous. He can reach right into that from the inside out and love and make what was once a barren wasteland like the Garden of Eden. That's what it says in Isaiah, that was once a barren wasteland in the desert. Who is this that is now like the Garden of Eden? It's those who have passed through the process and yielded themselves to the grace of God to form Christ in us, to make us his Eden. Amen? Who would like to be that to the Lord? The place where his fruit is found. Isn't that what Hosea said at the very end in chapter 14? For lo, I am the place where thy fruit is found. I am the place where thy fruit is found. And that is the work of God, bringing forth his Son in us. And that's what we need. That's what I need. And that's what Joel, I believe, is addressing. And I think that as we continue, especially in the year that we're in, especially in this precious time the Lord has given us of seeking him in this way, amen, with a sincere heart, a true heart, not just for more stuff, but for more of him. We can just say, yes, Lord, let Joel be something that your spirit uses to keep me hard after you and real about it and not satisfied with anything short of you. I believe that that's how the Lord has spoken into my heart. Through the book of Joel, I have a very bad memory, and so I probably won't remember all the deep, crazy, cool little things he shared. But I will remember the stuff that got my heart, amen. The thing, maybe not the scriptures even, but the process. And I will remember the beautiful Jesus that can come forth in my barren field. The nature of his heart, the beauty of his love. What that new wine is, what that bread is in its nature for others. I'll never forget that. And I'll never forget what I look like when he's not formed, amen. But I'll never forget that it is Christ in me, the hope of glory, Christ in us. So Lord, we just believe that you desire to bring forth Jesus. But Lord, in a way that causes a true conversion from us to you, from our attitudes and our pride, our excuses and our old ways, to an absolutely heavenly revealed Son, pure love. Till our mountains drip with honey and flow with wine and gush with water, the living waters of the Lamb. Until, Lord, you are so revealed in us that you shine forth from your Zion. Lord, until it is real and not just religion. This is our cry, Lord, and we stay low. We stay in that place of seeking you, of crying out for you, of wanting more of you, till our altars are filled with Lamb, till our altars are filled with your love, till our hearts are flowing with that beautiful self-giving love of the Lamb. Lord, thank you for the Northern Army. Thank you for the lion teeth. Thank you for the crises that help us know if we should just rejoice and give love or cry out until your love comes forth. But we want Jesus, the real Jesus. We want the Lamb. We want the love. We want the Jesus that feeds and gives life and to God and to others. Lord, don't stop until he comes, and we don't want to stop until we've had that opportunity to bring him forth in a real way. So Lord, over Christmas, over break, over whatever season we're in, to those listening, just form your Son in us. Lord, may we travail for others. May we groan within our hearts for the coming forth of Jesus. May we not look to others as the situation, but may we look within and say, oh, till Christ be formed in me, till I have love to give them, till there is some bread and wine and oil to give them, Lord. It's not that they hurt me, it's that I need more bread, wine, and oil. I need more love. And when that happens, when my harvest comes, Lord, it won't matter what they did. It won't matter about all that will matter is that I owe no man nothing but to love. And may that debt be filled by Jesus. Lord, use the holidays to do this process, and just let Joel not be a class. Let these words resonate in our hearts as things happen with our families and over the holidays that either reveal the bread and wine and the love flows like rivers down our mountains, or we see, Lord, that we still are needing to be debarked, needing to get low, cry out for that to happen, for more love, more Jesus. Lord, thank you that you work it all together for good. To those who love you, it's all part of the process. We don't have to be ashamed or go to a bad place. We just need to stay with you in your crucified heart, in the nail scars, until Christ come forth. We trust you with it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.